I have a confession to make. Some of you know this already. When I go on vacation, I do not go to church. I know some of you, when you're traveling, it's like an opportunity to check out another church, you know, see what's going on. I stay away. It's kind of part of vacation, I think, for me. Thank you. Now, I've been doing this, meeting together with God's people on a weekend for like 42 years now. And I know some of you have probably been doing it just as long as I have, because that's how long I've been a follower of Jesus. Now, it's a little, you know, I'm not totally clear about my motives, you know, and me and what I would do if I were like a normal person, you know, if I weren't a pastor. I've been a pastor for 35 of those 42 years. So I realize, you know, it's a little different for me. It's also part of my work. But one thing I do know is I'm going to be here like week in, week out for years and for decades. In fact, I was trying to think, which is, it's not bragging because, again, you know, part of this is my job as well. But I was trying to think if I'd ever, like, skipped coming to church other than for a missions trip or a vacation. And I could only think of one time, and this was a number of years ago here, when I actually got somebody to preach for me so I could go kayaking. And I even got one of our members, David Dimmock, at the time, to go with me. So I not only played hooky, I recruited somebody to play hooky with me. But knowing that this is like a regular part of my life, I was just thinking, you know, what do you do to get the most out of it? I mean, if you're going to be here, if you believe you ought to be here and gather with God's people, which I do, and I'm here and I've been coming forever, how do I make this a great experience for me? How do I have a huge takeaway so that I'm not just showing up for something that I'm supposed to do or ought to do or have to do? And I want to talk about that this morning. And I have a few scriptures here, but a lot of this is out of my personal experience. And I'll offer that to you as, you know, some ideas and possibilities for you. I do want to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. And I'm not going to, like, dissect that verse, but I'll make a couple comments and then kind of move on. It says this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may," I lost my place there, "how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The way I'm going to break up the sermon is going to be kind of in this area of prepare, engage, and then I call it implement. And as I look at that, those couple verses that I just read here, a couple things stood out to me, and I just put them in bold for myself. Unfortunately, I didn't do that for you. One is hold unswervingly to the hope. Because for me, it implies, and I know it's reality, you can lose the hope that you have. You can lose the sense of hope that you have. You can lose the quality of life that you have with Jesus. It's not like a guarantee. You made a commitment once, nothing will ever change. You'll always be solid and thriving. And so he's encouraging them, hold on to it. Another thing is spur one another on. So it isn't even just about me and God. There's a need for us to spur each other on so that we don't lose what we have in Jesus. And one of the ways we do that is by meeting together. Now, you know, there's a struggle because our tradition, we say, and we've all said it for years, we're going to church. But we know that that is totally wrong biblically, because it implies that this is church, this place is church, and we're going to it. We all know the reality is we are the church. And so I think, I don't know how it ended up here on my notes, it is getting the most from the church gathered. Because that's what I'm thinking. This is the church gathered. Now, we gather in other places as well, but many of us are here on a regular basis. And we need to encourage one another. We need encouragement from one another. That's part of what we can do when we're gathered together here. So my question for today, basically, how do you make the most of this Sunday gathering? If you're going to get here, you know, if you're going to be here, how do you make the most of it? And so following my order, I'd say, one is we ought to prepare. And part of preparing for me is making it a priority. You know, I don't know, I won't ask you to raise your hands, please. But how many of you have said, you know, I'm going to start reading the Bible, you know, every day. Or I'm going to start reading the Bible every week. I've struggled with that. But you don't have a plan. You don't know what you're going to read, you know, how much you're going to read, where you're going to go to read it. And you wake up and you have to think through all those things each time. And it's too hard and it takes too long to figure it out. And so you don't do it. But when you have a plan, when you've like said, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to be at such and such place at 10 o'clock, you know, or at 11:30. What do I need to do to make sure that happens? You know, and then we prepare ourselves. You know, either Donna or I, we iron our clothes, you know, the night before. I set them out. I set my alarm. I want to read scripture just on my own before I come here, and I'm going to have an English muffin. That's Sunday, you know, so that's Sunday for me, and I need to be here for me by around 9 o'clock. And it's only in that anticipation, figuring out what it's going to take, that I make sure, like, it happens for me. And I come prepared in the sense of I know what I'm going to do, and I know what my desires are for this day. And we'll talk about those as we go. But I know one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to come in here and I'm going to just kind of check out, see how it's going, you know, how the worship band's doing, if they're happy, if everything's working for them. Usually the sound's, you know, something that has to be worked out. I'm going to meet with a small group of people at 9:30 to pray for 15 minutes, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to stand out with Don Carroll, who's always out there, you know, first service, and often Harry, too, and I'm going to greet people and say hello and, you know, just meet the church on Sunday morning. And then often I'm going to preach. And I want to connect with people. You know, I want to just have those small touches, and that's what I anticipate. What do you come prepared for? I don't want you to answer out loud, of course. It's a rhetorical question. What do you come prepared for? So if we've prepared, then when we come, we're going to engage. And I'll tell you now ahead of time, I'm going to end up breaking this out. We're going to engage with God, but we're going to engage with each other. And for me, those are both absolutely, you know, at the center of our engagement when we come together here. So, you know, if you're going to engage, you have to be intentional about it. I just find most things, if I'm not really intentional, they just sort of slip past me. One thing I've tried to do is kind of make myself more alert recently about when I'm out anywhere, I want to like pay attention if God might want to use me to say something to somebody or pray for somebody or encourage somebody. And yesterday I was shopping. I went by myself because I knew it would take me forever for a new pair of tennis shoes, you know. Took me about 2 hours. You know, I have to search through all the ones I like, get all the parallel possibilities. If Donna's shopping, I can't last for more than 15 minutes. Then I call it the demon of shopping comes over me and makes me sleepy and I have to quit. When I'm shopping, there are no such demons. I'm energized. You know. But when I got home, all of a sudden I thought, I didn't once think that God might want me to talk to somebody or pray with somebody. It wasn't on my radar at all when I went there, and no surprise, I had no such encounters. So even when we come here on Sundays, we need to be intentional about what is it that you want to do? And what do you want from this time? And, you know, what do you want to see happen? We all know this thing that oftentimes, like, we have to, like, do something to kind of get our desire going. That action ends up leading to engagement. You can't wait till you feel like it. I mean, come on. How many of you would show up for work you know, every day. If you waited, I'm not going out the door till I really feel like going to work. Fired, you know. Or, I mean, come on, surely it's happened to you on Sunday morning or during the week for a life group. You thought, oh, man, it's Thursday night. I'm tired. It's been a long week, a long day at work. I don't want to go. It's not, oh, I'll go because I'm a part. And you go, this is really good. I had a great time. God used me in praying for somebody. We had a really neat discussion and then pray for, you know, I'm so glad I came. Everything's like that, including this day. So one thing we want to be intentional about is engaging with God. And so I have a couple suggestions here, and here's one of them. Sing your heart out. I mean, like, put yourself into it. I bet you do it in the shower, you know, or alone. Sometimes it creates a problem for me because I have to speak twice, but I sing my heart out and then I can't hardly speak. Or at least it hurts me. And I think, I'm not going to do that next time, but then I come and it's the same thing, and we're singing to God. I'm going to sing. I want to worship. I want to sing to God, and I'm going to put it out there. So I would encourage you to do that as well. It's one of the reasons I like the song we do, 10,000 Reasons by Matt Redman. There's a lot of songs I like, but that chorus where you're telling yourself, bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, O my soul, worship his holy name. And that makes me almost cry just saying those words, because that's really what I want to do, and I think what my soul wants to do. You know, what Michael Pelandro, in love with Jesus Christ, you know, a child of God who is grateful for all that he's done and given me, even though there are many times where I'm like, yeah, right. I tell myself, and my soul says, yes, that's what I want to do. And so I do, and I put it out there. You have to be, wary of the crowd mentality, which can actually work in two different directions. But probably a lot of people around you aren't maybe really, like, putting it out there and singing. And then it's really hard for you to do it when, you know, those around you are kind of quiet, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You're like, I'm not going to sing loud. That's going to be weird. I would challenge you, be weird for a moment and lead. Lead the people around you in that way. And then they'll probably join in with you, or they'll tell you to pipe it down a little bit. But it's worth the try. It's really worth the try. And, I realize we're not trying to all, like, out-sing each other. So there are times, I am actually aware, now somebody probably would need to tap me, I'm glad I sit in the very front here, but I am aware, because sometimes I realize I'm singing kind of loud and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not trying to, like, out-sing everybody else or sing louder, and so I'll try, you know, kind of dial back a little bit, because I'm just adding my voice to the chorus. We are a chorus, all singing together to God, but sometimes the rest of the chorus needs a little encouragement. And I'm asking all of you to be that leader and to give that encouragement, to break out of that quiet mode. You know how it is in other contexts when you get quiet, even with friends in conversation, it's kind of hard to, like, get out of that. You just have to make yourself say something or engage in the conversation. Sing. There's a quote that I've been aware of for a long time, and this is probably not quite exact. It's by Soren Kierkegaard, who said, worship is a drama where God is the audience. The leaders are the, and I added a word here, the props and prompters, and we are the performers. We should ask ourselves at the end of each performance, how did we do? Now, our tendency is to ask, how did the band do? How did the band do? But really, they're just the props and the prompters. We are the performers of worship for God, our audience. And so we ought to be asking ourselves, how did we do today? How did I lend myself to this performance of worship, to God that would please him and just make him so glad to be our God and us to be his people and for us to be together. But I do want to say, it is more than singing, you know, than us singing. In fact, I thought about Wes and Lisa Edmonds singing, as I put, this is interactive theater. Wes and Lisa had a children's theater that they founded and led for about 14 years called Children's Interactive Theater. It is interactive theater, and that it's not just, and this is what I don't like about Kierkegaard's statement, it's not just that we're the performers and God's the audience, because God is also acting in our midst, and he is speaking, and he is revealing, and he is reaching out and touching us, and so it is a dialogue. And so if we're going to engage with God, then we need to pay attention to what God's doing and saying in the midst of this interaction with him. And so just a couple things I'd say. Pay attention to the words that we're singing. Think about them. I mean, it's easy. I know a lot of these songs. We've been singing them a long time, and it's easy just to sing and kind of enjoy vocalizing and not really think about, what am I saying? And would it kind of change how I respond? Like when we're singing things about lifting our hands to God or pouring ourselves out, and I think, oh, I want to take a posture that suggests I'm pouring myself out to God. You know, we sing, I'm laying everything at your feet. And so, and don't be watching me now when I tell you these things, you know, in the future during worship. But I may do this, and I may just kind of lower myself a little bit. Just, I say, I'm putting it out there, Lord. I'm putting it at your feet. And once in a while, I'll just kneel down for a moment there because I'm singing, you know, I'm kneeling at your feet. I'm surrendering everything. And for me, sometimes I'm praying as I'm singing when we're talking about kind of giving everything to him. And I'm making up words, Lord, I give you the church. I give you my dreams. I give you my fears. I give you my marriage. I give you my job. You know, like, I'm trying to let the words lead me into worship of God in a way that they suggest. So I'm suggesting that to you as well. And listen for God's voice. Is he saying something to you? Is he saying something through the words? Is he saying something through the sound of the instruments? I mean, I've cried sometimes just listening to a lead on the electric guitar. And I don't think it's because I just love music that much. I think God uses the music, not just the lyrics. He uses the sounds. And so we should be listening for God in those things. It's not just, you know, Mike or Jeff showing off. They're not showing off, you know, as they're doing some great stuff in the electric guitar or any of the other instruments, you know, that kind of take off. This is a way that God can speak to us, reveal himself to us. Are we listening for that? But the other side of this is we're not only engaging with God, we're engaging with people when we come here. So, now this one's going to bother some of you. I may have already bothered some of you, I don't know. But since we're here to engage with people, we should sit next to people. We should sit next to people. That's probably simple enough. And I thought, this is not a lecture or a concert hall where you just kind of come for your own pleasure, you know. Well, I want to hear, you know, the teaching, or I want to hear the music. This is not that. This is a participatory drama between God and his people and his people with one another. And so it's helpful if we put ourselves in a place where that has greater possibilities of occurring for us. And then, you know, if you're going to be bold enough to sit with people, then I would say also let's talk with people. That would be a next step. But probably what I need to say, because I have to make myself do this, I am an introvert, actually. And I don't really get energy from interacting too much with people. I do, you know, a little bit in the moment, but I have to go take a nap after I've talked a lot with people because it really wears me out. But we need to talk not only with the people we came in here with, but maybe especially with the people we didn't come in here with. And that takes a lot of work. I mean, I have to make myself do that, but I do. I make myself do that. And it's funny, like anything, you find there's actually more pleasure in it than you thought there would be. And the other day I said to Donna, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm like a chatterbox. I just wanted to talk. And it wasn't coffee either. So let's keep an eye out for new people who maybe are coming seeking to discover, is God really present where these people who say they're followers of Jesus gather together? Does God and his people really care about me? You don't know what condition people come here in or what they're looking for, what's on their mind or what's happening in their life or what their needs are. And so without making people feel weird, you know, putting them on the spot, which every now and then, because I am a little uncomfortable, I know I make people feel weird. I say something, then I don't know what to say next. Like, okay, nice to meet you. And I go on. We need people better at it doing it as well. And so sit next to people, talk with people, and I would say serve people. Come with an attitude of, why do I come here on Sunday morning? I come to engage with God, and I come to engage with the people who come together. I'm going to sit with them, I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to find some way that I can serve them. And there are all kind of, you know, there's structured things, unstructured things. If we keep our eye out, it's pretty easy. I mean, it's serving. If you see a new person walk in who looks like, where do I go next? Just going up to them and saying, hi, I don't think we've met before. And that's kind of what I tend to like to say so I don't make too much a fool of myself. And they say, well, we've actually met 4 times before. Or I've been coming for a year. I've done that, you know. It's like, Have we met before? You look familiar, but... Or how long have you been coming here? That can be serving. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:26, and I'm using it a little out of context here, from the Message translation. So here's what I want you to do, the Apostle Paul says. When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. And I think he could have gone, you know, on from there. I don't think we're limited by just those few lines. He could have probably written a whole chapter on ways that we could offer something to others. You know, structured things, there's prayer team. And some of these things require some training. We require some training. Meet us for intercession, work in the nursery with the elementary kids, with the youth, greet people, help with providing coffee, you know, the prayer team that's up here, or just pray with somebody. When at some point, you know somebody near you is kind of crying a little bit, maybe wait an appropriate time and say, are you okay? And they may say, yeah, I'm fine, I'm just so filled with the love of God, it's just crazy. They may say, yeah, I'm just having a hard day. Oh, there's your chance. Why don't I pray for you? And even if you feel like it's beyond you to say what's going on, even if, can I just pray for you? You can just pray the peace of God, his love, help for them. I'm almost done. You're probably glad. Oh, wait, I got a little bit more down here. Looking at my notes. So we're going to kind of prepare ourselves. We're going to engage with God and with each other. I just find I get more out of the time. You know, if I don't engage, I get critical. You know, I'm like, well, that wasn't that good. Or, oh, you know, did you notice you missed that note on the piano? Or I wish the pastor had picked another translation for that because that's really pretty crummy for what he's trying to say. Or that did not make much sense. You know, I would have said it like this. Part of the trade, you have to be very careful, don't you? Well, as followers of Jesus, it's easy for us to be critical. Unless we're like in it, unless we're part of it, then we stop criticizing and judging because we know somebody may be criticizing me, you know, for the way I engage with them, talk to them, help, sang, whatever. So kind of the last part for me, and this is probably the hardest, actually, and I probably do it the least and the worst. I just use the word implement. It's kind of like, well, do something beyond here with what I experienced, learned, saw, you know, happen during this time. Because I am looking to be changed. And I was reading Luke 6, 47 through 49. It said, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, words, and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed. And its destruction was complete. And so I'm thinking, it's not really good enough for my life, because I'm really, in a way, I'm here for my life. It's not good enough just to kind of listen and watch everybody else. If I don't do something with what I'm seeing, hearing, learning, observing, I could find myself one of those people, I've got a lot of stuff going on, you know, up here, but it doesn't go very deep. And when tough times come, it's like, boom, it's gone. I mean, I run into people all the time because I've been involved in this a long time. I haven't seen them in 6 months, you know. And they just said, oh, I should come on a Sunday. And when you ask, you know, what was going on? Were you having some troubles? Or, no, I just kind of got out of the habit. It's like, it's easy to get out of the habit of following Jesus. It is. Unless we're actively, like, sustaining that life. All right, so here's how I'm going to wrap this up. I put in a nutshell, and it's a really bold on my notes, in a nutshell, what do I want from gathering with you on Sunday? And this is not what I want from you, it's what I want. But there's a premise here in my desires. And there are two of them. One is that Jesus, his church, and his kingdom are my life. And that's not because I'm a pastor. That's just my particular calling, vocation. It's because I'm a follower of Jesus. He is my life. And his people are my life, and his kingdom is my life. And that's just the way I think and live. But the other premise is I forget. And I use a variety of words. I get disoriented. I lose momentum. I give up. We all like to say, I leak, I get hurt, and I fail. And so I'm looking to be, and I try to think of a bunch of re-words, you know, R-E. I'm looking to be renewed, regrounded, reoriented, recentered, reminded of my beliefs, my trust in God, my values, my priorities, and my life with Jesus, his people, and his mission. I come here every week believing that will happen for me. That I will believe more, I will believe more deeply, I'll be more convinced of Jesus and his kingdom, I'll be more committed to following him, I'll have a better idea how to do that, I'll have some sense of where I'm not getting it very well and not doing very well, and I want to put some extra effort in that. I need to experience God at the center of my life again, where I say, oh yeah, I am first and foremost a follower of Jesus and a citizen of his kingdom, and everything else is part of my life with him. Somebody said at the Vineyard Conference, All In, God is not an app on my iPhone. You know, God's not an app on the smartphone of my life. He is the phone, and I am an app on his life. That is good. I tend to think, I got this life going, I got all these pieces that, you know, make it good for me, and God's one of those pieces. He's like, no, no, no. It's really all about God. It's all about Jesus and his life, and I am part of his life. So I need to re-up all the time. I need to remember, yeah, I do want to worship God. I need to remember, I love singing to him. I love him. Yikes, what am I going to do about that? I had another Kierkegaard quote here out of a book, The Sickness Unto Death. And I thought about it in this context. He said, the greatest hazard of all, losing oneself, can occur very quietly in the world as if it were nothing at all. No other loss can occur so quietly. Any other loss, an arm, a leg, $5, a wife, etc., is sure to be noticed. But a lot of times, the life that we have, who we are in Jesus, I don't know, it easily kind of erodes at the edges and then begins to seep out more and more. And before we know it, before we don't even realize it, I'm not the same. I'm not the person I used to be in Jesus. I don't have the same love, the same intensity, the same desires, the same, you know, commitment of practice and living. How did that happen? It's so easy to not notice when it's kind of leaking out of our life. That's what makes it so dangerous and why we need to pay so good attention to it. A couple last statements. I come here and the life group, as well as pray and read, to make sure that I don't lose my true self as a man in Christ. I don't want to lose that. I'm looking for comfort, encouragement, challenge, empowering, and renewed vision. I see each gathering as a new start, a chance to begin again, to renew my faith and life with Jesus. And last statement here, I see each session as a space where God and his people can engage and draw each other deeper into life and be sent back out to live with Christ fully and faithfully in our world. That's what I want from here when I come. All right, why don't we all stand up? Prayer team, would you come on up to the front? Prayer team is going to just kind of line up across the front here. In case you're new, they're going to be here to pray with anyone who would like prayer before you get away and get back home or go to lunch today. A lot of us come with things going on that aren't working very well for us, not the way we want them to, and we would really like God, you know, to kind of help us and to intervene in those areas. And these folks are here just to join with you in speaking to God about those things and seeing what he might begin to do, even as, you know, you're here this morning. I'll take a little risk here. This is a dream that I had last night, and I'll just say, I felt like God was saying in this dream, it's not lost on him that women in particular who've probably experienced through any social period a lot of difficulty and pain often are the first to lead us in repentance. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. And I think I want to say thank you to women for doing that. So, all right, if any of these things make any sense to you, feel like God's speaking to you through them, just come on up and let somebody pray with you. If none of them mean anything to you, come on up anyway if you need prayer, and they'll pray with you. Let me bless you. May the Lord show you how rich your life is in him. May he help you to see how deeply you are loved and how profound is his work in you. The Lord is with you. Amen. Hey, have a great day. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you next week.